Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
What do you do when your schedule prevents you from having dinner with friends and attending the parties they host? And when your work leaves you so wired, there's no point trying to get to sleep until everybody else is about to wake up. If you're an actor, a stagehand, or a makeup artist attached to a Broadway show, maybe you go bowling. That's what Only a Game's Michelle Seaton discovered recently on a late-night, early-morning visit to some lanes that were just beginning to glow as the bright lights of Broadway were flickering out.
It's disco night at the Leisure Time Bowling Alley in New York City's Port Authority bus terminal. By 11 p.m., the alley has just about cleared out the night's recreational bowlers. The bouncer out front begins to welcome actors and crew members from nearly two dozen Broadway shows. They have all just finished their Thursday night performances and have come straight to the lanes for the weekly Broadway Show Bowling League. The teams play a standard round-robin rotation, two games per night, and probably won't finish until after 2:30 in the morning. Valerie Peterson is the stage manager for Mike Leigh's new play, 2,000 Years. She explains why late-night bowling makes sense for her and her coworkers.
We're night owls. You know, everybody says, you bowl at 11:30 at night? And we're like, yeah, that's when I get out of work. I don't go to bed until 3. I don't wake up until 11. You know? So it's perfect for us.
Peterson's team is called 100% Recycled because it's made up of stage managers and stagehands from several different shows, both on and off Broadway. She says this league is their one chance to get together each week.
You know, it's hard in New York to see your friends all the time, especially when you work in theater and you work at night, every night. You miss out on a lot of stuff. You can't go to happy hour with your friends. You can't go to movies with your friends. You can't go to all the parties that your friends are having. And so this is perfect for us.
But why bowling? Noah Racy, who stars in the musical Curtains and wears a lucky fedora on the lanes, says that anyone who has to ask that question doesn't understand what he calls the true power of bowling.
The ball, the throwing it, it hitting the pins, and the screaming. There's lots of screaming. Yeah, it's just a fun night. Every, you know, once a week we all meet up here and get to go bowling.
And drink beer.
And drink beer and eat pizza and have a good time.
Racy's team is called the Drapes, because it is made up of the cast and crew of a show called Curtains. Many of the team names make reference to specific shows. The cast and crew of Avenue Q make up a team called Sucks to Be Q. Cast members of the musical Grease are the Ramalama Ding Dongs. The Legally Blonde production has a team called Legally Blind. Other team names make reference to beer, drinking beer, or being drunk.
We're talking.
Wow.
Can you say that on NPR?
I hope so.
Yeah, you might have some trouble tonight.
There was one team a few years ago that was for villain.
They're still here.
Oh, really? Yeah. Can't say that one.
Really? No, I guess not. They're still here.
Or bold now.
They're still here.
Yeah, okay. No.
In lane 20, a group of Irish actors from the play The Seafarer are warming up and eyeing their competition in the next lane. In the theater, this cast is playing to rave reviews and standing ovations. But in the bowling alley, they are at a bit of a cultural disadvantage. Ask actor Kieran Hines, born and raised in Belfast, what his handicap is, and he shakes his head.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know what it means. I mean, I suppose somebody explained it to us, but we just turn up and play and drink some beer and play bowls and abuse the people who are playing against us, you know, verbally, not physically.
Later, Hines admits that breaking 100 would be a first for him. In fact, he may need to pool his score with another team member in order to break 100. Not that winning matters to any of them. They're actors, after all. If you can't hit any pins, you can at least add some flourish, says Hines.
But we all want to be John Turturro from The Big Lebowski, but we just don't have the nerve to start slinking around and doing all that stuff. But maybe later on we'll get throw in a bit of style.
Actor Sean Mann, who also stars in The Seafarer, admits that he's not much of a bowler. Mann is from Dublin, and this is his first Broadway play. He says he joined the bowling team in part to get the full Broadway experience. The trouble with bowling, he says, is that not only can he not figure out what he's doing wrong, he can't quite figure out what he's doing right.
I'm just in it for the laugh, basically. But I got very lucky. The first time I played, I bowled a 166. I got a turkey, which is three strikes in a row. But then after that, I kind of bowled like a 100, so it wasn't... It's certainly not strategy. It's more the look of the game, basically.
Tonight, the Seafarer faces the team from the musical Mary Poppins, called the Poppin' Pins. No actors or front-of-the-house folks on that team. It's all burly backstage crew, some of whom wear leather vests over their bowling shirts.
Come on, Mike. Knock them all down, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Gutter spare?
Yeah.
The hard way. Spare the hard way, baby.
The serious teams aren't hard to pick out. There's no one who's still wearing glittery stage makeup or funny hats. No one is doing Rockettes-style kicks after a surprising strike. The serious bowlers have matching shirts with names embroidered on the front and logos on the back. These folks have tournament-quality bowling bags. They bring their own shoes. They spend time taping their fingers. They have no sense of humor about losing or about winning, for that matter.
We won the first game. We took the first game in town.
This, according to John Martinez of the team that calls itself Will Bowl for Beer.
We're in first place right now. We were second place last year. Our team branched off. We originally were one huge team that everybody wanted to be in, so we spawned a second team. So now we have Will Bowl for Beer 2, T-O-O, and we enjoy it.
The waitstaff in this bowling alley is kept plenty busy, shuttling chicken wings, nachos, and serving giant glass cylinders of beer called Powers, each one of which has its own tap. As the night wears on, the bowling declines in quality, but the bonding increases.
We'll bowl! We'll roll for beer!
The bowling league runs from early January to early June, when many of the shows close. Then the fall season starts up again after the summer, when a new theater season begins. The league used to run year-round, but the commissioners decided to shorten the seasons and to allow more flexibility among team players. After all, says league co-commissioner Amber Whedon, the Broadway community is always in flux.
But we allow for people to kind of come in and go as much as they need, and the teams are bigger than six people. They'll have rotating members who want to come in and bowl for them each night, which is good.
Whedon herself has had to miss several months of bowling.
I went away. I did a show in Toronto for a couple months called White Christmas. It's funny because we all kind of freelance people. We do a show for a while, and then your show will go on the road or come back. So it creates a lot of uncertainty in the league with who's going to be around.
But that uncertainty also creates energy. Players never know who is going to turn up, who they will see or play against, or for that matter, who won't turn up because their show has gone on the road or because they've given up on theater and taken a day job. Still, for those who do make it on Thursday night, the Broadway bowling party rolls on. For Only a Game, I'm Michelle Seaton in New York City.
Michelle Seaton's story about Broadway bowlers will be featured on this week's program. I'll be talking to Jenny Reese in the annual Kentucky Derby Day ritual we've been celebrating at Only a Game for over a decade now. Listeners looking for a certain return on the investment of their tax rebates should pay especially close attention to that conversation. Jenny will pick the winner again this year. We'll have a story about bull riders who have swapped their Stetsons for helmets, and I'll be talking with Lee Montville, who's written a book about the mysterious Montague, a hotshot golfer who hobnobbed with the likes of Bing Crosby and W.C. Fields, but who also earned comparisons with Dutch Schultz and Pretty Boy Floyd. And don't worry, we'll update the NBA playoffs too, and I'll discuss coaching changes and other critical concerns with Charlie Pierce. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.